Good morning, friends. Welcome to chapel. As you guys slowly find your seats today, today is the Asbury College Student Congress Chapel. All right. Well, I was guessing maybe many of you may not know what we do and how many of us there are, but it sounds like maybe you guys might know. But there's over 80 of us in three different branches, in the spiritual life, student activities, and governance. And today we're going to explain our vision for the year. So our guiding verse for the year is Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as the day, as you see, so much more the more as you see the day approaching. So today is going to be a little bit different. We're going to go with everyone from our executive committee is going to speak today and go into detail about our vision for the year. So you guys are in for a treat. So,
well, we're really excited to have you here this morning. So before we begin, if you would bow your heads in prayer with me. Father, we praise you for today. This is a beautiful day. We're expecting rain and we are so excited about it. We praise you for the people that are in this room and this building that we fill. We praise you for everyone that has come before, and we pray that you would fill us with the love and joy that you have filled them with, and that today, as we speak to this congregation, that you would fill us so much that your light would come out, and that when we look at our speakers, we do not see their faces, but we see your beauty. Today, we know that there are those that are troubled among us here, the men and women sitting right next to us, and I pray that you would alleviate those and you would help us to help others. We also pray for those who are outside of our walls, those in our nation and those here in Wilmore. They face physical struggles of all kinds. Lord, you know those, and I pray that you will be with them. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
All right. There we go. Vision statement. We come together as a community of believers to cultivate each other in the way of the Lord, by making sacrifices without expecting return, investing in accountability, and learning dependence on Christ. To express Christ's grace and love, we will saturate the body through edification, exhortation, and encouragement. In doing so, we will prepare the body to bear fruit eternally beyond Asbury College, that the world may taste and see that the Lord is good. Hi, my name is Samuel Purcell, and I am the Student Congress Vice President of Governance. And what you just heard is the vision statement for the Student Congress for this year. And it's a project that's been in the careful works for ever since last semester. So there's been a lot of work going into it. So honestly, right after reading it, my honest thoughts jump straight into a fruit. Well, my favorite fruit, actually, the mango. So picture this, guys. A mango is squishy. It's sweet. It's either yellow, orange, red, or purple. And the best way to eat it is hedgehog style. I looked this up, guys. I didn't make that word up. What you do is you cut it and you cut on either side of the seed because there's a big seed in the middle. You take one of those slices and then you cut it on the sides and you put your teeth into it and it tastes so good. But guys, a perfect fruit isn't just, you know, doesn't just happen. Poof, you know. What Jill's going to share with you guys is the process it's going to take to cultivate some good fruit on this campus.
Good morning, everyone. As Sam said, I'm Jill. I'm the Vice President of Spiritual Life this year, and I get a lovely picture of a farm as the picture that goes with me. It's pretty, I know. But that's because I get to share with you about cultivating and what it looks like to cultivate a relationship with the Lord. And I'm not telling you, I'm not sharing this with you because I have it all figured out, but rather because I'm learning too, and I want to know what it looks like to truly cultivate intimacy with the Lord, and what it looks like to saturate one another, as Lyles will talk about in a little bit, and then what it looks like to truly bear fruit. And so I'm in this with you, and it's not at all like me saying, I have it figured out, so learn from me because I'm great or anything like that, but rather I'm learning with you, and I'm learning what it really looks like to cultivate a relationship with the Lord too. And as an executive committee, as we discussed what it really looks like to cultivate, there are three different things that we really broke it down you. And the first part of it is sacrifice. The second part is investing in accountability. And then the third part is depending on Christ. And so, like I said, sacrifice. What does it really look like to live a life of sacrifice? And we all know that Jesus lived a life of sacrifice. He humbled himself to be a servant. He humbled himself by becoming a man and ultimately making a sacrifice on the cross. And we hear that a lot, but We hear about Jesus making a sacrifice for us a lot, but what does that really look like for us? What does it look like to live a life of sacrifice that follows the pattern that Jesus left? And if we look in Romans 12, the first verse, it talks about being a living sacrifice. And the thing about a living sacrifice is that there's a tendency for something to walk away. And so being a living sacrifice is really... But Romans 12 talks about being a living sacrifice. And like I said, the thing about being a living sacrifice is that we have a tendency to walk away. And so by making our lives sacrificial lives, we are continuing to lay our lives down at the altar. In that time when we are tempted to walk away, that's when we come back broken before the Lord and laying at his feet again and coming with all of our junk and just sitting at the feet of the Lord and saying, I know I screwed up, but here I am again. I want to live for you. I want my life to be a sacrifice to you. And in Psalm 51, verse 17, it says that a broken and contrite heart are the very sacrifices that are pleasing to God. And so as we live a life of living sacrifice, we get to come before him broken. And we don't have to come to him with all of our crap together. Like, we don't have to have it all together before we get to enter the presence of God. We don't have to have our junk together. We get to come before him broken. And in fact, that's very pleasing to the Lord. So that is a part of sacrifice. But another part of sacrifice, I know you don't want to hear this, is sacrificing our stuff. And whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's our possessions, we're called to live a life of sacrificing our things. And sorry, I'm going to refer to my notes. But the thing about sacrificing our stuff is not that the Lord needs those. It's not that the Lord needs our money and our tithe and our things and our whatever. You know, he doesn't need those, but it's actually for our freedom. When we give of our stuff and we sacrifice the things that we hold most dear, that's when we find freedom. That's when we experience freedom, because we're laying down the things that we hold as idols in our lives. And then the last part of sacrifice that I want to talk about is the sacrifice of service. And I'm going to go to, I forget what verse it is. It's Hebrews 13:16. It says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So yet again, there's a verse that talks about the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. And it has to do with not neglecting to do good, not neglecting to serve our brothers and our sisters, but rather, I mean, stepping into a place of servanthood and stepping into a place of sacrifice. And I have a quote I want to read to you. Sorry, my hand has a microphone in it now, so it's a little tricky. But it's a John Corson verse. He is a pastor of a church in Oregon, as I find it. Sorry. It says, may God help you and me to understand that sacrifice is not something that is simply to cause pain or agony. The sacrifice God calls us to is to set us free in order that we might be successful and powerful in life and in ministry. And so I just want to say to you guys, that's what it looks like to live a sacrificial life, is to be a living sacrifice through sacrificing ourself, our stuff, and our service. And in addition to living sacrificial lives, we want to live a life that is truly invested in accountability. And I know for myself that I would not know Jesus if it weren't for being plugged into a small group and having people hold me accountable and people who were bold enough to say, Jill, why are you living in this life instead of living a life of freedom and of healing? And, sorry, I'm gathering my thoughts. But when I was in high school, that was the first time I had gone to church. And really quickly, I got plugged into a small group and an accountability group. And that changed my life. Like I said, I would not know the Lord if I hadn't been in that small group. But instead, the Lord used those people to love on me unconditionally in a way that I hadn't ever seen before. And growing up, I had a pretty poor representation of what love looks like. And so being able to step into this place of unconditional love and these people accepting me in my brokenness and investing in my life, regardless of my junk, that is what it took to transform my life and to bring healing in my heart and to set me free from the bondage I was living in. And I really thank the Lord that there were people that loved me enough to call me out and to say, why are you doing that? It is not breathing life into you. It is not satisfying you. And so I'm really thankful for people who are willing to hold me accountable. And in James 5 verse 16, it says that in confession, there is healing. So we have the key to healing. We know because scripture tells us how to be healed, but we aren't really taking advantage of it. We aren't living a life of confession and accountability. And I'm not really sure why, but scripture tells us like that's how we get to be healed and we get to be set free is through confession. So I know John Morley sent out an email earlier this week about getting plugged into a small group. So take him up on the offer, get plugged into an accountability group because that really will help cultivate holiness and unity on our campus. The last thing that I really want to talk about is that in and of themselves, a sacrificial life and investing in accountability will do nothing for you. In themselves, I mean, they're great in theory, but without the element of learning to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are nothing. Because there is nothing that we can do to earn the Lord's love. And I know we hear a lot about God's love, and I pray that it is not empty words to you. I pray that they are not empty words to you. But rather, learning what it means to be in the presence of God would be a place where you really understand and are overwhelmed, in fact, with the way that the Lord loves you. And learning to depend on Christ is learning what it means to be identified as he sees you. And to be in a place where you acknowledge that he actually likes you. He likes your personality, and he's not disappointed with you, but he longs to be with you. And same for me, it's hard for me to understand that sometimes that the Lord desires to be with me. In scripture in 1 John, again with the balancing act, sorry. 1 John 3 verses 2 and 3 say, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." And the thing about learning to depend on Christ is that once we see him, once we get a glimpse of him, we can't help but be transformed. When we see how compassionate the Lord is, we can't help but be compassionate. And we see how forgiving the Lord is, we can't help but forgive. When we see how loving he is, we can't help but love. And scripture tells us that all of it comes from the overflow of being with him and learning to just be intimate with him because he desires that from you. He desires to be intimate with you and he desires to be a deep companion to you and to heal you in the places that you're broken. And so my encouragement to you today is just that learn what it means to be in the presence of God. And from that, sacrificial lives will emerge. And from that, you will want to be held accountable. You'll want to be around people who are bold enough to call you out of the lies and the darkness that we're living in. And so that's my encouragement to you. Learn what it means to be in the presence of God because he really does desire to be with you.
Good morning. Actually, I'm going to have everybody stand up real quick. Don't say anything yet. I'm going to be talking about saturate. I think it's going to be really important to saturate our community and help us grow together. I think it's important we know each other. And I know some of you may know each other all your life that you're sitting next to, but I want to go ahead and have everyone introduce themselves to everyone sitting next to him. Say your first and last name. You got 30 seconds. Go. All right. Everybody met everybody. All right, y'all can have a seat. Now that you got to meet each other, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Lyles Taylor. I'm a senior. You probably have seen me or heard me before. You've probably heard me yell on the green at somebody across, or you've probably seen me ride around on my new bike I got in China with the radio. It's kind of cool. But just so you know me a little bit better, it's a little bit more comfortable that way, at least for me. Today I'm going to share with you all a little bit about saturating. We're going to talk about saturating this community that we can grow to be a better community. And I'm just going to pray real quick for that, and if you guys would pray with me. Father God, I pray that you saturate us. You saturate this community with your love and with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you fill me up as a vessel. I praise you for the opportunity to be a vessel. I pray that you pour out through me, that it's not me, that I'm out of your way, and that you pour out, not just today up here, but every day this year, that we might grow a greater community in you, in your Son's name. Amen. So my word is saturate, and when I think of saturate, I think of like being filled, big, and the other word I think of is soggy. And when I think of soggy, I think of like a soggy bun. So when I think of a soggy bun, I think of like when you get a hamburger and the bun gets soggy and you take a bite out of it, it doesn't only ruin the bun, but it like ruins the burger. And I kind of want to get ruined here. You know, I want our community to be ruined with Jesus. I want it to spill out. I want it to get into every part of our lives. And so I just want to share a little bit about what it might look like for us as a community to be saturated in God's love, to be soggy in God's love, so it kind of ruins everything else, right? So, again, when we're saturated, things start to spill out, and I think that's a beautiful imagery when you think about growing, cultivating, and then we're growing, and then we'll bear fruit. It's beautiful just to think of us pouring out in that, because we've got so much, we're so saturated. And I think important for that is what our goal, our theme as the EC is strengthening the community of believers. And that means I'm going to pour out into you guys, and I would love for you to pour out into me. I'm looking so much forward to this year. And I just kind of want to step in, like, how do we start saturating this community? And I think one of the first things is we've got to care. We've got to care about one another. Dr. John Morley, a friend of mine, a wonderful professor, we've talked before in the past about really caring about each other. And when I see you out in the green and I say, hey, how are you? Man, I want to mean that this year. I really want to mean that. I don't want to say, hey, hi. I don't know what to say next. How are you? Good. Okay, I'm good. Yeah, that's shallow. But I really want to care about how you are. It might be a little awkward at first. And probably second and third, probably be awkward every time. But you know what? I really care. I really do care. I really care about how you're doing. And wow, how special would it be if we just cared about each other? So when I see you and I say, man, how are you? If I'm saying it silly, you know, like I'm not really paying attention, you can stop me and say, you know, this is how I'm doing. You know, like, man, Lyles, I'm really struggling with this. You know, like, man, there's some stuff going on with my family. You know, like, man, how does that grow our community? You know, that's more than just somebody you pass every day. That's a community. We talk about community so much here, but we're going to strengthen this community of believers, each and every one of us, and I think that's really important. So I think next, once you care about each other, you're going to start encouraging each other, right? So when you tell me something that's going on in your life and I really act like I care because I do, then the next step is for me to encourage you. So that means I'm going to encourage you in what you're doing. So I can't make it everywhere, but you know what? Oh, wow, I know that you play on the basketball team. I want to be there for you and support you. You know, I care about what you're doing. I care about what you're involved in. I'm going to encourage you there. Or, oh, wow, you've got your senior recital this week. Man, I'm going to do my best effort to be there because I want to encourage you and how the Lord's using you. Or you've got your art exhibit for your senior art exhibit. I want to be there. And I'd love for you to tell me about it. You know, make every effort to be there because it's important for as a community for me to care about each and every one of you and what you're doing. And I think you think about just how beautiful that would be for us to grow. I have one more thing about encouragement and what it looks like, what it's looked like so far for me in this community. A couple years ago, a good friend of mine, Jack Brannon, I don't know where Jack sits, but anyways, I told him I'd give him a shout out today. Didn't think I was serious, but Just a great example of what encouragement you can be to someone on campus. A few years ago on my birthday, Jack took the time to sit down and write a letter to me and just think about how what the encouragement I've been to him and how God sees me and how he sees me through God's eyes. And wow, that was an encouragement. It's an encouragement to know who I am in Christ, who I am to him. I encourage you guys for that. Just say, man, take the time to care about each other. Take the time to write a letter to someone. Take the time to be there for someone. So that's my prayer for you guys this year. That's prayer for myself. That's prayer for the EC, for the Student Congress. But it's just a community. I think it's from the students to the faculty to the administration that what kind of community can we be if we really do saturate this community with God's love and his Holy Spirit? Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Dean Canada, and it's a pleasure to be up here. I've really been looking forward to this moment. Well, I've been tasked with talking about bearing fruit. So what exactly does it mean? What are we talking about when we mean to bear fruit? And Jesus said in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit." And so when we're talking about strengthening the community of believers, we've kind of used the metaphor of a plant. You know, we talked about cultivating a plant. You know, you cultivate, you put it in good soil, put a little fertilizer on it, and you set it out in the sun so it can saturate in water and in the sun. And so bear fruit, what does it mean? Well, let's take an orange plant, for example, right? We do all this cultivating and saturating and everything, and it grows up into this tree and everything. Well, we don't expect it to grow up into a tree and then look pretty, do we? You know, have nice leaves and everything, perfect-looking branches. No, an orange tree has a purpose. Its purpose is to produce fruit. And we, as a community of believers, have a purpose as well. And that purpose is not only to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, but it's also to go out and to reach people for Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:46, that, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, how are you different than others? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" You see, we live in Asbury community where we're saturated, where we're cultivated. But sometimes it's easy to forget that right outside our doorstep, right outside where we live, right in our community, there are people who are lost and dying, that are looking for the love of Jesus Christ. And that's where something like accountability comes into play, because in order to go out and reach out to other people with Christ's love, we need people that will fill us up, that will keep us going in life and everything. And you know, there's a saying that they will know we are Christians by our love. Have you guys heard that saying before? They will know we are Christians by our love. Now, usually when I hear that phrase, that statement, I kind of usually think of, well, you know, they'll look at us Christians and they'll see that we love each other. And they'll say, "Oh, well, I want to be a Christian." And, you know, that in some senses that is true. That is part of the way it works. But I would like to start thinking about this phrase, not necessarily as internal between Christians, but they will know us by our love, meaning they will know us by how we love them. Because, you see, people are looking for something tangible in life. They're looking for a tangible way of love that we can give them. God's agape love, something that's unconditional, something that isn't merited in their life. And that's where things like what we've been talking about, where sacrifice comes in. Because, you know, when we're cultivating, saturating, and we're bearing fruit, we're giving it to other people in the Asbury community, well, we're still having people pour into us. We're still having people encourage us and everything. But when we go out into the world and bear fruit and give our fruit that we've borne to them, then, you know, those people aren't necessarily going to pour into us. You know, it's going to be something of a sacrifice. We're giving something up that we're not necessarily receiving back in return. And so that's where something like sacrifice, encouragement comes in. Encouraging people maybe when they don't even need encouragement, or not necessarily when they don't need encouragement, but when they don't necessarily want encouragement, or they're not expecting encouragement. And last of all, you know, giving unconditional love. And that's what's great about living in the Asbury community, is that we have a sense of unconditional love. And kind of like what Lyles was saying about being poured out, it's not something that we just want to keep in the Asbury College community. The whole purpose of having a strong community is that so we can go out and reach people with the love of Christ, because that's our calling in life. Jesus gave us the Great Commission so that we could go out and evangelize other people. You know, when I think about the parable of the talents a lot of times, I kind of internalize it as well. I think of somebody that, you know, Jesus gave this person a talent, and the master went away, and he just buried it. He didn't do anything with it. He didn't even bring it up. But what if we also think of the parable of the talent as not necessarily not using it at all, but how we use it? Because God has each given us talents, and it's not necessarily bearing our talent if we don't use it. But it's also bearing our talent if we have a talent that God has given us to reach other people, and we don't use that talent to reach other people. And a great example that I have is my sister Ember, who is going to be shipping out to Iraq today. And God has given her a sense of boldness in her life. She is one of the most amazing people. I remember when she was at Missions College, she would go out in downtown Minneapolis and witness to drug dealers and witness to other people, to prostitutes. And so the reason that she joined the military was first to serve our country, but also to reach people who are in the military. She's a medic, and so a lot of people who are enlisted do not have a lot of hope. A lot of her friends are alcoholics, and so it's not a very easy environment. I think she has one friend that's a really strong Christian. And so it's kind of an extreme example of what it means to bear fruit in other people's lives. And people know who she is. They know that that she is somebody that they can come and talk to, that they can go and ask her to pray for them. And not only that, but I think it's really funny. Her witness is strong. I remember one time when she was doing her AIT, her medic training, that a rumor got around that she had said a curse word. And it was like big news in her company that she had said a curse word. And so it's important that not only that as we are here at Asbury that we encourage, we have God's agape love, but that translates into the world abroad. You know, and Jesus told about the parable of the 10 foolish virgins, where God comes in the middle of the night and they aren't expecting. You know, and it says in our scripture that, you know, as we eagerly await the day of God, I know that in my life, that I want to be fulfilling God's purpose for my life by reaching out to people when God's day approaches. And we don't want to be complacent in our Christian walk. We don't want to be complacent in reaching out to other people by putting it off, by living in our comfortable bubble. But we want to encourage each other. We want to hold each other accountable to reach out to a lost and dying world that is dying for God's love. They're looking for something to fill that hole in their life. And so we as Christians need to have this fire in our lives to reach out to other people. And I don't want to be caught when the day comes as somebody who's asleep, as somebody who's not ready. And so I want to encourage you too, you know, don't be caught when the day of the Lord comes. Be ready. Be reaching out to people. Be bringing the kingdom of God to people. And I think that will look really good for us as an Asbury community and help strengthen us overall.